Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Halt Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I am Jim Galante. He is Sean Gold from Sean's Take. How are we doing this week, Sean?
Doing all right. Excited to get a couple extra minutes to talk about football with you, Jim.
Yes, indeed. We actually have a full hour with Sean this week. I am so glad to have you on, Sean. Appreciate you kicking in with the couple extra segments. What I thought we would do today is, like we typically do, quarter three and four. Quarter three, we'll review our picks. That's not going to be pretty segment.
You know, some games I heard just do quarter one, quarter two, and then go straight to the fourth quarter, Jim.
Well, we'll have to like stall through that quarter and pretend it didn't happen. Quarter four, we will get to our picks for this coming week. Hopefully we'll do better. We can't do much worse. But having you on ahead of time here for Q1 and two is I want to talk to you about the national picture, which is really changing and adjusting for us every week. And a couple big games this past weekend. First one being in the Big Ten, Ohio State beating Penn State. And, you know, the repercussions for both teams, I think both teams, both coaches felt pressure going into this game. But I had to feel like Ryan Day, he was risking his second loss. That would have been very tough for this Ohio State team.
It would have been. And like you said, both teams were facing pressure. Both coaches, can James Franklin beat Penn State? Can Ryan Day get a big, you know, a big win against a top five opponent? And in the end, I think on the grand scheme of things, exactly what was supposed to happen ended up happening. Both Penn State and Ohio State should be in the college football playoffs. If Penn State won that game, I don't know that Ohio State makes it in. So, you know, for as much as I wanted Penn State to pull through and as much as I thought they probably should have pulled through in that game, this isn't the end of the world for Penn State. They're in a great spot right now to get into the playoffs, and hopefully they'll have a shot where they can redeem that loss coming up. But they control their own destiny now, and Ohio State got a much-needed win to save their season there.
And for Penn State, yes, they have to win out, though. There's no doubt. They have to win out. There will be pressure every week on them going the rest of the way. But I think for Penn State fans, it's that unique situation of not being able to get over the Ohio State hump. And I've been saying this all week, Sean. Playing against Ohio State, it's like every year you're playing against a top five team. Okay, top five teams are top five teams for a reason. They usually win all or at least most of their games. So to me, it doesn't bother me so much Penn State's record against top five teams or James Franklin's record against Ohio State as the way they lose the games. They had games in the past few years where they had 10-point leads in the fourth quarter. This year, again, they had a 10-point lead, albeit it was early in the game. But you still have a double-digit lead, and you have opportunities inside the five-yard line and come up with 0 points twice inside the five, and you come up with 0 points. That, to me, is the frustrating part as a Penn State fan. So even if they win out, go 11-1, I think the feeling is still going to be they still have something to prove.
I completely agree with you there. They've still got something to prove, and, you know, I don't want to harp on it too much, but it was hard watching the red zone offense. You throw a goal line fade. Now, I'll give them a pass on that. That's one of the lowest probability interception plays out there. A goal line fade, you're throwing it on the back shoulder of the receiver where only he can get the ball, and you have a freak interception. Great play by Ohio State on that, but that it takes a ball in the perfect spot to be able to get that interception there. So that was unfortunate. I had issues with how they handled the final goal line stretch, though. Warren gets you down the field, Jim. Why are we not giving him the ball there?
I don't know. We still have not gotten an answer to that question, Sean. And the other thing, it's a subtle point, but I think it's worth making, in that first half where there was the fade and, as you said, low percentage to get intercepted, but Penn State put them in the themselves in the position of having to throw the ball there because the clock was running out. They lost 20, 30 seconds earlier in that drive when I think James Franklin was afraid to give the ball back to Ohio State with some time left. I kind of get that, but to me, that's playing not to lose as opposed to playing to win. I suspect if it were against another team, someone other than Ohio State, James Franklin would have been pushing it, trying to score there instead of worrying about, uh-oh, I can't give the ball back to Ohio State with 45 seconds left.
You know, that's a great point because the announcers were saying the same thing on the broadcast. And I was sitting there thinking, I'm scared if Ohio State gets the ball back here. So I was okay with that decision, but I like how you just put it. Me as a viewer, I can be scared, but Penn State and their coaching staff, you can't be scared if you're going to beat Ohio State. I'm sitting on my couch scared that Ohio State might score, but if you're James Franklin, you got to have confidence that your defense is going to make a stand, and you got to have confidence that you're going to pick up that first down and go score a touchdown right there to really get, you know, make this game very interesting. And that was a missed opportunity there. So I like how you put it. At first, I was kind of in agreement with, you know, waste some time there. But now when you look at it like that, you can't be scared in this game if you're going to beat Ohio State.
Exactly. And I actually think that final possession when they were inside the five and ran the ball three straight times, I also think that was playing a bit scared. You've played all year with this creative offensive coordinator doing creative, fun things, and that's as creative as you could get. And I understand the logic, and I've heard this from people. Hey, you had 3 yards to go and four chances to do it. Well, even with that logic, give yourself the best chance. Is that not with, you know, Tyler Warren? And by the way, he could still hand it off to a running back if that's what you want to do, but you're at least forcing the defense to think, hey, wait a minute, what if he keeps it? The Ohio State defense had no fear of Drew Aller keeping the ball.
No, they didn't. And, you know, after first down, you could tell that Ohio State's interior defensive line was going to win that battle. They had the push against our offensive line there. And so first, second, and third down, you run basically the same exact play. It doesn't work either anytime. And we knew it wasn't going to work because we could see the matchup. I also really had an issue with fourth down. One of the biggest pet peeves that I have is when teams are down at the goal line and you condense the field. You have a right-handed quarterback. Let him roll right and open up the entire right side of the field. They put everybody within 10 yards of each other. Ohio State didn't even have to be in man-to-man coverage to have everybody accounted for. So I had a big issue with the field spacing that they use there. Everything we're taught as a player, especially as a receiver, is spread the field. You got, 52 yards wide, use all of them. Penn State did not do that. And as frustrating as I was on first, second, and third down, I was even more frustrated on fourth down with them.
I'm with you on that. We still have not gotten a good explanation. The closest I think James Franklin came was the idea that we felt like we should have been able to score running the ball. Well, maybe you should have, but as you said, Sean, it was pretty evident early on they weren't getting a push up front. They saw that on first down. So let's do what we were supposed to do now and talk a little bit more about the national picture. It wasn't just the Penn State-Ohio State game that had some effect on where we're going to eventually be with the college football playoffs this year. And here's the big picture, at least how I look at it, Sean. You have some obvious – the group of five is going to have a representative. That's out there. Right now, maybe it looks like Boise State, but it's going to be one team and one team only. We know that. Notre Dame, if they win out, finish with one loss, they're going to get one of those playoff spots. ACC and Big 12 will get at least one spot, and probably just one spot. And that's where there were two other games within the this past weekend that had some effect on it. I think there was some thought that, you know, Clemson, if they were to win out and play Miami in the ACC championship game, that might be a two-team represented in that in that conference. Well, Clemson lost their second game to Louisville, which, unless Clemson actually wins the conference championship game, that eliminates them. I think the only question comes in is, if Miami makes it to the conference championship game and loses, does the ACC get two teams into the playoffs, Sean?
That's where it gets really interesting, because that shouldn't happen, but we know the ACC, and it is so likely that something like that might happen. I would say if Miami does win out and loses in the conference championship game, I do think the ACC puts two teams in. I don't think you can leave a one-loss Miami team out after they got to the number four spot in the country. So I think there is a realistic possibility that Miami might actually lose the ACC championship game because of how crazy college football has been, and that two teams would get in if that does indeed happen.
And SMU is the other player in all of this who they are undefeated in the conference. If they win out, they would be in that conference championship game against Miami. SMU loses, they're eliminated. It's their second loss. But again, it's the same question, whether it's Clemson or SMU or even Pitt. If they get in and beat Miami, that becomes the question. By the way, the rest of the schedule for those teams in the ACC, Miami has Georgia Tech, Wake Forest, and Syracuse. I know stranger things have happened. Do you see a loss in there for Miami?
The only loss that I could see, you know, without anything insanely crazy happening, is maybe Syracuse. We know Kyle McCord is capable of really airing it out. If they can get a couple explosive touchdowns, that's the only one where I think there's, you know, hey, there might be some upset potential in the air. But, you know, if you're Miami, you better get past all three of those teams.
And undefeated in conference, SMU, they have BC, Virginia, and Cal. Do you see a loss in there for SMU?
You know, same thing. I think there's, like, you could maybe say, hey, Boston College has looked good at times, Cal's looked good at times. But again, we're stretching to say that one of those teams should pull an upset off. But anything has happened. We do know that anything can happen now in college football.
I think if it goes to chalk, it's Miami and SMU, both undefeated in conference. And then Miami wins, it's clean. You got one team from the ACC. SMU were to win, then you have some questions. All right, that is it, Sean, for quarter number one. Quarter two, we're going to look at the rest of the conferences, ACC, Big Ten, Southeast Conference, right after this. Every day is a great day to join us at Cafe 210 West to enjoy our daily drink specials. Mondays, it's the Cafe Tea Pitcher for $5. Tuesday, Smirnoff Pitchers for $7. Wednesday, Bacardi Pitchers are $7. And Thursdays, enjoy Cafe Tea Pitchers for $5. All week, we have half-off draft beer and cafe tea from 9 to 11 p.m. and 6 to 8 p.m. on Fridays. So get the gang together and come on down to Cafe 210.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Hulk Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He's Sean Gold from Sean's Take. Sean, we're taking a look at the national picture in college football. And, you know, we went through the ACC, what's going to go on there. I think it comes down to Miami versus probably SMU. And if Miami wins out, wins the championship game, ACC is represented by one team, Miami. If Miami were to get upset, that's where you potentially have two teams there. I think we've got a similar picture in the Big 12. At one point, we had, going into this last week's games, we had both Iowa State and BYU as undefeated. Iowa State went down. Now it's, all right, is it still going to be, if it's BYU and Iowa State in the championship game and BYU stays unbeaten, they're the lone representative of the Big 12, right?
I completely agree with that. If BYU continues doing what they're doing, they're the only team in.
The question becomes, just like how we talked about Miami, if somebody beats Utah and Utah has one, somebody else represents the Big 12 as the champion, is there any way BYU gets in as a one-loss team?
See, I think they have a worse case at doing that compared to Miami. I think Miami, one-loss team, they're in. BYU, it's a harder press because it's not as strong of a conference, and they haven't been a top five team this year. So I don't know that a one-loss BYU team gets into the playoffs. And that, of course, depends on what else happens in the Big Ten and the SEC and how many teams are they going to get. But I think it's a harder argument to make, especially if Notre Dame's still in the picture, to put BYU in if they don't win the Big 12.
I'm with you on that one. And that's where that conversation will be that we've talked about for the longest time. We thought it might be a two-loss team versus a three-loss, say, Southeast Conference team. Turns out it could be a one-loss team, say, BYU, versus a two-loss Southeast Conference team. Let's have a reminder here. Alabama has two losses. If they finish out with two losses, would you take a one-loss BYU ahead of a two-loss Alabama? I don't think they would. I think Alabama would get the call there, Sean.
I completely agree. I personally would not put BYU in there, and I don't think the committee would put BYU in there over Alabama either. And Jim, I got to point out one thing on the Big 12. You knew I was going to bring this up. If Colorado wins out, they're in the championship game. They have they have some sort of a tiebreaker over Iowa State. Is there a shot we see the Colorado Buffaloes make a run? They got to upset Utah next week to do it. Is there a shot that that can happen? Iowa State has Utah on their schedule as well.
Utah has showed themselves to be very beatable. That will be, in fact, you know, Utah this week, is it this week? Utah plays, Utah plays Utah. BYU Utah is this weekend. And it's at Utah, I believe. That could be an interesting game. That could be a threat to BYU's undefeated season. And that's the other thing in the Big 12. I don't think any of the teams, and we saw this last week with Iowa State, although they were unbeaten, they lost. It can happen to the would anyone be surprised if Utah beat unbeaten BYU?
Not at all. That's what Utah does. Especially in a year where they're not in contention, their sole purpose is to mess up somebody else's season. So I would not be shocked at all if Utah pulls that upset.
All right, let's look at the two big conferences. Believe it or not, the Big Ten is probably a lot easier to take a look at than the Southeast Conference, which we'll get to. So in the Big Ten, you have Oregon undefeated, and I just want to bring up the Big Ten schedule here and what Oregon has left. After beating Michigan, they have Maryland at home, Wisconsin on the road, and then Washington at home. I really don't see them losing a game. The toughest test is probably at Wisconsin in the middle of November. So it could be a little chilly there, but I don't see Oregon losing.
I agree. I don't see it happening. I would say Oregon wins out. They've looked like the best team in the country. They want to continue to showcase that.
And the fact is, even with a loss, Oregon's would be in the conference championship game, I believe. I'm not sure there's a permutation where they wouldn't be. So that would be, I think Oregon is a lock, as close as a lock as you can get among the big conferences. Then you have Ohio State, and I'll lump in Indiana there. Indiana is undefeated. The big game left is Indiana versus Ohio State. Indiana has left both Ohio State and Purdue. Remember, they beat, or let's see, who else do they have? I'm looking at the schedule wrong. They beat Michigan, right? Or no, they're playing Michigan this week at Michigan.
Which is going to be a big tell because Michigan doesn't have anything to play for except for same thing as Utah, trying to ruin someone else's season. Michigan's playing for pride at this point. And what's interesting is same thing with BYU. the rankings don't really trust Indiana yet. They haven't given us any reason not to trust them, but their schedule also hasn't played a big-time opponent, so Michigan's going to be an interesting one. But you look at Indiana, they're number 8 in the country, 9-0. You know, the committee still values Tennessee, Penn State, Texas, all these one-loss teams ahead of Indiana right now. So they have a lot to play for, and they need to make sure that if they do have a loss, that only loss is going to be Ohio State.
Just a quick note. We are recording this prior to the College Football Playoff Committee coming out with their rankings, so that might be a little different. So Indiana does have Michigan on the road, which I think could be a test. I think you and I will have more of a conversation about this game in quarter number 4, and then they're on the road against Ohio State. I think we all think Ohio State will beat Indiana. So if Indiana finishes it out 11-1, Penn State, we know where they're at, went out for 11-1. Ohio State, same thing. If they went out, beat Indiana, I think we're looking at Oregon, Ohio State, Indiana, and Penn State representing the Big Ten.
I completely agree. I think that as long as one loss is the most any of those teams have, they all get in. That's what it looks like.
And it's just Michigan against Indiana that could really upset that setup for Indiana.
I agree. You know, I mean, I look at Penn State's schedule. They should win every game. You can never be too careful because the upsets do happen, but these teams know what's at stake at this point in the season, and I think they're going to come in playing their best football for the remainder of the season.
It's the Michigan-Indiana game that I think is the one, maybe a little foreshadowing of who I'm going to pick there with this spread in quarter number 4. But if I'm Indiana, I'm very leery of this game this weekend against Michigan. Although that is, I'm looking at the schedule, and that is a home game for Indiana. It's not in Ann Arbor. So that's something to consider there also. But I think it's fairly clear cut. And even if we end up going as we suspect it will, if it's Ohio State finishes out with one loss and loses to Oregon again, the number one team in the country in the conference championship game, I think Ohio State would be the top-ranked two-loss team. If Indiana should beat Ohio State, that's where things might get interesting for Ohio State with two losses, Sean.
It would be, and I'm all for it happening too. I think I can probably speak for you on that as well, but I would love to see that scenario, see how the rankings react, and, you know, see, is there a chance that Ohio State, you know, is a bubble team, which is crazy to say right now.
Well, now we're going to shift to the Southeast Conference, and speak of bubble teams, I have 7 teams that still have a possibility of making it, and unusually, compared to the other conferences, Ole Miss and Alabama each have 2 conference losses. But I think, you know, Ole Miss has a game against Georgia. If they could win that game, boy, they kind of vault to the top of the 2-loss teams. Alabama has 2 losses. LSU has 2 losses overall. Alabama and LSU play. That's an elimination game, Sean. No other way to look at it. The loser has 3 losses.
Yeah, you cannot make it in with 3 losses, and both those teams are playoff caliber, but only one's going to get in.
Exactly. The other big game, end of season, 1-loss Texas versus 2-loss Texas A&M. A&M loses, they're eliminated. Texas loses, they become that another one of those interesting 2-loss teams.
Yep, it's going to be very interesting down the stretch. Every game is so meaningful right now. You could get away with something in the beginning of the season. At this point, though, every single win and loss matters. And, I mean, there's a scenario where, like, Texas might not get in. There's a scenario where could Georgia be a bubble team? It's going to be hectic these next couple weeks.
Well, I think where you have a couple games that are the deciding factors in the Southeast Conference is 1-loss Tennessee plays 1-loss Georgia. Is that an elimination game?
I would say I think both can still get in, unless, let's say, Georgia blows out Tennessee. That could factor some things. But there's going to be 2-loss teams in. And as long as Tennessee doesn't lose to anybody else, or as long as Georgia doesn't lose to anybody else, I think they can get in with two losses.
I think what you're going to have is the scenario where if you're a one-loss Southeast Conference team, you're automatically in. I think what it comes down to then is some kind of tiebreaker among two lost teams. We mentioned Ohio State if they were to lose to Indiana. But you have the potential for LSU, Ole Miss, Alabama, Georgia, or Tennessee as being teams, and A&M, if they could beat Texas, they'll be two losses. Texas will be two losses. You could have like five or six Southeast Conference teams with two losses. That's going to be a mess.
People thought the 12 team would fix the mess of the playoffs. It doesn't, but it sure does make it exciting, though, and I'm all for it.
I am too. It is going to create chaos. There is not an unbeaten team in the Southeast Conference, which is interesting. So, and there's still enough games with each other that you're going to have those two lost teams. I think, though, three losses and you're definitely out. That's where a line will be drawn. And I think there's going to be a tiebreaker among two lost teams. All right, Sean, that's it for quarter number two. Hate to say it. We got to talk about our picks from last week. We'll do that when we come back. Every day is a great day to join us at Cafe 210 West to enjoy our daily drink specials. Mondays, it's the Cafe Tea Pitcher for $5. Tuesday, Smirnoff Pitchers for $7. Wednesday, Bacardi Pitchers are $7. And Thursdays, enjoy Cafe Tea Pitchers for $5. All week, we have half-off draft beer and cafe tea from 9 to 11 p.m. and 6 to 8 p.m. on Fridays. So get the gang together and come on down to Cafe 210.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Halt Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He is Sean Gold. Sean, it's quarter number three.
It is.
And unfortunately, what this means is we have to take a look at our picks from last week. My friend, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. But we got to do it.
I agree. And, you know, listeners, I apologize. This wasn't the week that I wanted for you guys.
Well, you know what's interesting, and we've talked about this in prior weeks, Sean, where there are games where we see the result and go, boy, what was I thinking when I made my pick? What in the world was I thinking? Then there are games, and there are multiple of them this week, where I look at it and say, you know what? I think I won. I think I should have won. The spirit of it, and I know this is loser talk on my part, and let's start this with the Ohio State-Penn State game, and when we made our picks, it was a 4.5-point spread. Penn State ends up losing by 7. We both took Penn State, but the way that game played out, I know it was a touchdown difference, but that was like a field goal type game. You know, Penn State just – literally, if they had kicked a field goal one of the two times they were inside the five, we would have been inside the spread. I know that's loser talk when you're talking about this kind of thing, but I think the level of competitiveness of this game was like a field goal game.
It definitely was. And, you know, it's hard. There were so many opportunities for Penn State to cover. There were so many opportunities for Penn State to win that game. And, you know, that to have that as a loss this week, it hurts because it, you know, it shouldn't have happened. And there were so many mistakes that led to it that it's a very frustrating one.
It was. And you know what? The next one game up, Miami and Duke was being given 20 points in this game. And I think you and I both took Duke, both felt that Duke's going to be competitive in this game. They're going to make this a game. And even if Miami wins this game solidly, you're still going to be within that 20 points. And I think this game played out for three quarters, just like you and I thought it would. And then in the final quarter, Miami runs away with it. So it was a 4-point game going into the fourth quarter.
Yeah. You know, I mean, the whole second half, it started to go downhill. 15-7 Miami in the third quarter, not too bad, but 21-3 in the fourth quarter. Duke just completely fell apart. And there was no point before that I was worried about this spread. You know, three touchdowns, that's a lot to beat an opponent, especially when it's a close game going into the fourth quarter. And just everything fell apart for Duke. So another one. You can't regret picking Duke. It was the smart pick in this one. But unfortunately, they just collapsed.
Yes. And that's what I mean when I talk about the feel of the game was closer than a 22-point game. Those are the games that are just so frustrating to lose when you're betting games, Sean. So next one up was Oregon and Michigan. And you were smart enough to take Oregon. I thought Oregon on the road, kind of like I had the discussion about Michigan, Indiana, and I don't know if I'm going to get off this underdog thing, but that 14.5 points just felt like a little too much. Oregon could prove themselves to be the better team, win this game by 13 or 14, and you still have Michigan covering here. Well, we end up, it's a 21-point game. Kudos to you, my friend. You had Oregon.
Well, this was the only good one that I had this weekend, so I'll take it. Oregon looked good. You know, they looked like the number one team in the country.
They did. For them to go on the road and do that, and we know this conversation about the long travel, going a two time zones, and the feeling I had was Michigan's defense would keep them in this game, keep it competitive. It would keep Oregon from scoring 38 points, you know. Obviously, I was wrong. All right. A similar game here was Florida at Georgia, and you and I both took Georgia. And the difference maker for me with this one was Georgia was at home, still with something to prove. I thought they would blow out Florida. Hey, they won by two touchdowns. So it was a solid win, but not enough to cover 16.5 points.
And it was the interceptions from Georgia. Carson Beck throwing three interceptions is what killed this, because when we look at Florida's box score, you had the quarterback injury, but Warner came in and went 7-for-22. They could not move the ball, but Georgia just continued to self-inflict wounds in this game. Another one, like that, it should not have been closed. But you have Carson Beck throwing three picks, which I don't know if he's ever thrown three picks in a game in his college career. And then, of course, because we're on it, he decides to do it this week.
and you know, that this is where these games this season have been tough to call, where there's so many of these games where there's a two or three touchdown spread. And we're going to see that in our upcoming games and in making our picks, Sean, that how do you pick? And those are the tough games to pick, because it's, hey, I'm confident this team will win, but can they get it beyond that two touchdowns, or can they get it beyond that three touchdowns? And my feeling was that Georgia had a better chance of doing that against Florida than Oregon did against Michigan. Like I said, part of it was the home field for Georgia, and, you know, just that feeling like Georgia – after they've lost a game this season, they're not used to doing it. I thought Georgia would start to get on a roll here, and we just didn't see it from the Georgia Bulldogs. All right, the next game we had to pick was Pitt against SMU. Now, two ACC teams that I don't think anybody was looking at as ACC contenders. I certainly didn't feel that way about Pitt. SMU moving up a level, joining the ACC. The feeling was, you know what, this SMU team can be competitive, but just didn't really think that they would be at the top of the ACC, at least not yet. But Pitt, SMU was favored by 7.5 points, which I was a little bit surprised. I thought, you know, that was a very solid number there, pretty big number for them, more than a touchdown. I could understand the argument for Pitt, and maybe it's just my anti-Pitt bias. I took the SMU Mustangs, and they ended up winning big. They put up 48 points against Pitt. I'll tell you what, I had SMU to win, but I never expected anything like that.
I'm still sitting here wondering how in the world Pitt can get outscored 24-0 in the second quarter alone. It was 7-3 at the end of the first. It's like, okay, you know what? This is right where this game should be. 24-0 in the second quarter, you're not going to recover from that. So, I mean, SMU, they surprised me. They looked really good, and it also raises a whole lot of red flags for Pitt in what was supposed to be this kind of magical season for them. They threw that down the drain right in this game.
They really did. And we talked about this a little bit before, but SMU has a very manageable schedule going the rest of the way. After beating Pitt, they are on a bye this week, and then it's BC, Virginia, and Cal. You mentioned BC as a potential threat, a trap game, just one of those games that could just, after this huge win, although they did get a bye to prepare themselves for it, realistically looking at it, boy, this SMU team, they can go undefeated in the ACC. And really fascinating, do you know who their one loss is against?
I don't remember about their one loss.
Out of conference, to undefeated BYU.
Not a bad loss to have.
No, not a terrible loss at all. Again, though, because it's SMU, if they lose another game, even if it's the conference championship game, they are out. They have to win the conference to get into the playoffs. But no matter how it turns out, what a great year for them in their first year in the ACC. Just real quick note on SMU going to the ACC. Do you remember the circumstances of them going into the ACC? You know how oftentimes a new team, they won't get a fair a standard share in the conference the first couple years as the new team in. SMU is actually buying their way in. They are giving up, I think, for 7 years. They are not taking anything from the ACC.
Wow. I did not know any of that. That's insane.
That is SMU saying, we want to play big time. Yeah. We want to get to the ACC. They bought their way in, essentially. All right, the last game from last week, Louisville at Clemson. Clemson's been routing everybody since that loss to Georgia to open the season. I think you and I just felt they were the better team. They're at home. They're on a roll. Guess what? Did not turn out that way. They were a double-digit favorite and ended up losing by double digits, Sean.
This is one that I now come to regret a little bit, because we've talked about Louisville before as a dangerous team, and I kind of had the blinders on with how well Clemson's been playing, but I think the bye week hurt Clemson. We've seen a lot of teams come out slow after a bye week, and this was definitely an instance. Clemson just did not look the same. You know, 14-0 in the second half, they're off in the second quarter. Their offense just could not get going. They didn't have a point in the second or third, and that killed them. And that was not the offense that we've seen before from Clemson, who was scoring almost every single time they had the ball. So that bye week hurt, and Louisville took, you know, huge advantage of an opportunity.
You mentioned it with this game, and I mentioned it going into this segment, how there's so many games that you look at, you may have lost it, but you said, man, you know, I can't see how that – this one I have no regret. I had Clemson. I truly believed in Clemson. I probably felt better about that pick than I did any of my other picks. I felt that good about Clemson. There you go. That's college football, Sean.
Definitely. Most definitely.
All right. Let's see if we can do any better with this week's picks. When we come back, we're going to take a look at it. I'm looking at these games, and candidly, I haven't made my final pick on a few of them. We'll see where Sean goes with them when we come back after this break. Every day is a great day to join us at Cafe 210 West to enjoy our daily drink specials. Mondays, it's the Cafe Tea Pitcher for $5. Tuesday, Smirnoff Pitchers for $7. Wednesday, Bacardi Pitchers are $7. And Thursdays, enjoy Cafe Tea Pitchers for $5. All week, we have half-off draft beer and cafe tea from 9 to 11 p.m. and 6 to 8 p.m. on Fridays. So get the gang together and come on down to Cafe 210.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Hulk Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Sean Gold from Sean's Take. I'm Jim Galante from Keystone Sports. This is quarter number four, and it's time for our Pulp Daddy picks. We've got a six-pack of games to take a look at, Sean. Hopefully we do better than last week.
Well, you know, Jim, I wish last week I had a couple Pulp Daddies with me as I was making my picks, because I think it would have helped me do a little bit better. So, you know, it's time to get back this week.
You know what, Sean? It could not hurt, okay? Nothing could have made our picks much worse than they were. So hopefully, as you said, the Pulp Daddy picks will be there for us this week. Let's go through the games. And it's interesting, some of these games. The first game I have as one of ours to pick, it's Florida at Texas. Maybe I'm buying into the big names because it's Florida at Texas. Texas is better than a 3-touchdown pick in this one. They are a 21.5-point favorite over the Gators.
Well, you know, DJ Lagway, we don't know what his injury is going to be. Reports are coming out that the hamstring injury is less significant than they thought. But is he going to be starting this game, or are you going to have a backup quarterback starting this game? And we saw last week, the offense wasn't too pretty once he got out. I'm going to go with Florida in this one. 21.5 points is a lot of points. The Gators, they can play defense. They can control the clock a little bit. And, you know, I mean, we are kind of questioning that. Like, how good is Texas? They're obviously a great team, but are they 21.5 points better than Florida, who's a pretty respectable opponent still and has looked pretty decent at times this season? So I'm going to go with Florida getting a cover. You know, they may lose by 19 points, but that's still a cover in this one.
It is. I'm actually going to go with Texas. I think this is one of those games that could end up a blowout. Florida, I think, might be beginning to realize that, you know, multiple quarterback injuries, it's just time, you know, pack it up. Look forward to start reading the rumors of who the new coach is going to be next year and deciding, do I want to stick around or do I want to move on? I think this is one where Texas could end up with the blowout. Next game, also Southeast Conference. This one's a good one. It's Georgia at Ole Miss. I think the fact that it's at Ole Miss adds a little bit to this. Georgia is a 2.5-point favorite on the road against Ole Miss. Remember, Georgia has one loss. Ole Miss has two losses.
In this game, it's going to be a great game, but I have to go with Georgia. I got to go with Kirby Smart and just his expertise in this game. It's going to be a rowdy environment. Ole Miss can put up some points, and they can definitely pull off this upset, but I'm going to go with Georgia to steady the ship. They did not look that great last week. I think Carson Beck's going to be better this week. And ultimately, I'm going to take the Georgia Bulldogs by a field goal in this one. I think they can get the job done on the road to really, you know, kind of save their season. And to some extent, I just don't think Georgia's a two-loss team.
I'm with you. I think Georgia is still one of the absolute best teams in the country. Their only loss against Alabama on the road. And they made the great comeback in that game. I think this is Georgia solidifying their position that they are a playoff team. I think they eliminate Ole Miss. All right, next up, I alluded to this game. It's Michigan at Indiana. And Indiana, who would have thought this before the season started? Michigan at Indiana. And Indiana is a 2-touchdown favorite. It's 14 points.
I'm going to just get straight to the point. It's too much for me. Michigan has nothing to play for except for pride, and they do not want to drop to 5-5 against a team that they have consistently dominated in Indiana. This is not a game that you would ever think Michigan would be the underdog in. They are this year. I think the defense is going to be able to keep this thing close. This is upset alert for Indiana, and I love what they're doing. They're a great story this year. I would think they should win this game, but it's too many points against Michigan, who is – this is their season at this point, is finding a way to upset one of these teams.
Do you know what, Sean? I've had Indiana on upset alert for about 4 weeks in a row, and I'm going to do it again. I just feel like you're right, that for Michigan, I would have felt better about this if it was at Michigan, but even on the road, I feel like this is Michigan's last hurrah. This is their last shot to make an impression on a national audience. If they could if Michigan could upset Indiana, I just want to say those words. Michigan, don't know if they'll actually get the win, but I do think they'll keep it within that 14 points. All right, Sean, next up is your favorite, the Colorado Buffaloes. They are at Texas Tech. Colorado, starting to get some respect. They are a 3.5-point favorite in this one, Sean.
Wow, what a game we have here. And, you know, this is going to be a high-flying game. We're going to see a ton of offense in this one. 3.5, I wish it was 2.5, so we only had to do the field goal, but I'm going to go with Colorado. The bye week, it scares me a little bit because we've seen a lot of teams come out slow after a bye, but you've got Shedeur Sanders, you've got Travis Hunter. We know what that dynamic duo can do. And to Colorado's credit, their defense has looked better every single week this season. I was very surprised by that. Their defense and offensive line are worlds better than they were last year. Colorado knows that they kind of control their own destiny to try to get into that Big 12 championship game. And I think Deion Sanders is going to have his team ready for this one, given the Buffaloes in this one, Jim.
I'm going with Colorado also. And this is, and it's a statement that you could make in pretty much every game that Colorado plays, which is they will have the two best players on the field. And in some ways, since you've got a two-way player, it's almost like they have the three best players on the field. And in these games that are fairly close, I kind of like one of those very best players to make a play for you. Colorado has been pretty good to me over the weeks. No reason for me to get off of the Buffalo train. I'm going with Colorado also on this one. And again, close game. Give me the team with the best players that are on the field. Okay, next one up, and this one is huge. We talked about this a little bit earlier. Alabama is playing LSU. They both have two losses, okay? This is an elimination game from the playoffs. This is a playoff game, Sean. Alabama and LSU are both playing for their playoff lives. The loser is eliminated. They aren't going to make the playoffs. So you feel pretty good that you're going to get the best from both of these teams. Alabama is a 2.5-point favorite at LSU, which we all know is not an easy place to play.
No, it's not. And we learned this a couple weeks ago when we picked against LSU. Brian Kelly has not lost a night game since he's been LSU's head coach. Such a hard place to play, and especially in a primetime matchup. But I just can't see Alabama being a 3-loss team. It doesn't make sense in my brain to think that Alabama would lose 3 losses. And I like DeBoer as the head coach of Alabama. This is a huge game for him right now, and I think he needs this one. This is a toss-up matchup. It's going to be a very entertaining game. I'm going to go with Jalen Milroe to have one of those superstar games that he's capable of having and lead the Crimson Tide to a win, a much-needed season-saving win, Jim.
You know, this one is a really tough pick. I think when I put together the games we were going to look at, in my head, Sean, I was thinking Alabama would be my pick for this one. I really was. But, see, you convinced me with the early part of your conversation. LSU at home at night, they don't lose those very often. And they beat in Alabama more than most teams in the Southeast Conference. I'm going to go with LSU. The fact that Alabama has already lost a couple games, they also had were scared against Georgia, almost lost that one. They almost had three losses already. I don't think this is your Nick Saban Alabama team this year. I don't. Combine that with LSU and how tough it is to play there at home at night. I'm going to go with LSU in this one, Sean. I've been agreeing with you most of the time, but not on this one.
No, I don't blame you at all for taking LSU there. It's such a great game, and I think it may come down to who gets the ball last, to be honest, in this one. But I'm going to rock with the Crimson Tide here. I think they got to find a way to get this one.
You know, what's funny is I'm going to be watching, of course, the Washington at Penn State game. I'm going to be there. But like a lot of other people, I think in the press box, I remember the Georgia-Alabama game. We all sort of had one eye on that other game as it was going on. I got a feeling it'll be the same way with this one. All right, the final game, Washington at Penn State, whiteout game. We got the announcement. It will be an 8 o'clock game in Happy Valley. Penn State coming off the loss to Ohio State. We know with history, Penn State has struggled a couple times after getting that first loss. It feels like they lose to Ohio State a second time, if you will. So Penn State is a 13-point favorite in this one, Sean.
I'm not going to lie. I had Washington written down to pick this one. But the whiteout environment is so underrated, and that adds a whole nother element to this game. So the fact that Penn State's doing that this week sways my pick. The Nittany Lions need this game bad. Washington is a team that can ruin your season. So they better be locked and loaded coming into this game, Penn State. It's a tough game, but I'm going to go with the Nittany Lions.
You know, Sean, I always find it difficult to pick against Penn State. But if there was ever a game, this is it for the reasons you described. And the other part to this is Penn State through the years has been pretty good against the spread. This year, it feels like they don't win games on the scoreboard by as much as they win on the field. You know, I'm thinking about like the Illinois game as an example, where they won by two touchdowns and felt like they were the much better team. It was never in doubt. So that's what scares me about this game. And it's what makes it tempting to take Washington here because of that 13. I could see Penn State dominating this game and winning by 10 points. You know, one of those 20-10 games that really was never in doubt. But I'm going to go with you. I'm still going to pick the Nittany Lions, somehow find a way to frustrate us, but still win by two touchdowns and cover the spread. All right, Sean, that is it. Thank you, my friend, for spending the hour with us. It was a lot of fun. And thank you all for listening. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Every day is a great day to join us at Cafe 210 West to enjoy our daily drink specials. Mondays, it's the Cafe Tea Pitcher for $5. Tuesday, Smirnoff Pitchers for $7. Wednesday, Bacardi Pitchers are $7. And Thursdays, Enjoy Cafe Tea Pitchers for $5. All week, we have half-off draft beer and cafe tea from 9 to 11 p.m. and 6 to 8 p.m. on Fridays. So get the gang together and come on down to Cafe 210.